thank you for those kind, fawning words. They're always gratefully received by the Arts Council. And we get other write-ups as well. But, I mean, I have to say from the bottom of my heart, it's a real honour to be asked to be here today. And I was very pleased that I was able to come out last night and participate in the shenanigans and hear the many talented people who are in this room. But I'm really pleased to be here today to talk to you about the Arts Council's approach to making the arts more sustainable, and also to discuss with you the potential for artists and arts organisations to help take the lead in responding to one of the greatest challenges, well, the greatest challenge of our time, in my view. So there's no denying that the arts in this country have a significant environmental impact, from the lighting and the heating of large public buildings, to the carbon emissions produced by touring, and from audiences travelling to see work. And in recent years, arts organisations themselves across the country have begun to rise to the challenges of reducing the effect their work has on the planet, often responding to the kind of creativity and innovation that usually associated with the art that they produce. I use some examples of Opera Music's Green Committee's installed power optimizers saving 21.6 tonnes of CO2 a year. Glyndebourne, contrary to popular myth, the Arts Council does fund, has become, for its kind of wider work, has become the first arts organisation to install a wind turbine on site, providing 90% of the electricity they use. And of course, tipping point in our host today. And for the last 7 years, we've been artists, scientists, and activists together to discuss how the arts can better engage with the environmental challenges that we face. So, sustainability, in its broadest sense, has moved right to the heart of the Arts Council's 10-year vision, achieving great art for everyone. As we look to ensure how arts organisations adapt and respond to climate change, we want the kind of inventive measures being pioneered by arts organisations to spread throughout our national artistic and cultural ecology, reducing the cumulative environmental impact of the arts and ensuring all our arts organisations are, if you like, responsible and accountable citizens of this country, of this planet. And that's why I'm really proud that we've become the first arts funding body in the world to put environmental sustainability in the funding agreements of all our major funding programmes. So from April, every organisation or museum that gets money from us will, as a minimum requirement, need to measure and improve their water and energy use between 2012 and 2015. And this isn't a kind of policing approach. It's not how we work. It's about helping arts organisations to make a real step change in their environmental approach. We want to make sure that they won't be alone in changing the way they work, that they'll have access to advice and support that they need to significantly reduce their carbon footprint. So today I'm pleased to announce a new partnership between the Arts Council and Julie's Bicycle. Julie's Bicycle will provide practical support to enable organisations to meet and help in many cases exceed our new funding requirements. They'll work alongside all our funded organisations to develop innovative approaches to environmental sustainability in both their creative work and their business models. They'll provide arts organisations and museums with a series of national workshops, a free online carbon calculator, and bespoke support in creating an environmental policy action plan, with real plans that do real things that they'll be able to implement from 2013. We're really excited about the potential of this new partnership. It represents a new way, in some senses, for the Arts Council of doing things, working alongside organisations with the skills and expertise to deliver really specialist programmes and services that will have a real impact on the arts in England work. Julie's Bicycle has a fantastic record of helping organisations reduce their carbon emissions, and has become the leading authority on all things sustainable for the arts, culture and creative industries. I'm sure that arts and cultural organisations from across the country are going to find this support really valuable over the next 3 years. And I mean, just an anecdote, I was in the World Summit on Arts and Culture in Melbourne as chair of the Central Federation of Arts Councils. And Alison from Julie's Bicycle came and gave a talk, and a leader of a major arts council who was sitting next to me said at the beginning, I just don't buy this stuff. At the end of the lecture, she said, okay, I might get it. So there was a real impact, actually, in that international setting. I'm glad that we are able to kind of lead the way internationally in the way that we're able to do. Our commitment, the Arts House commitment, to greener arts and culture goes beyond our national portfolio of partner museums. Between 2012 and 2015, we're also committed to making sure that environmental sustainability is central to all our funding programmes. Nowhere truer than our new capital programme, which will primarily focus on refurbishing existing buildings to improve their environmental performance. And we've built a lot of buildings, with a lot of money over the last decade or so. But some of them were hand built before we really had the knowledge about how we could build buildings in better ways. And so we need to kind of look at some of that so that we really do enable our organisations to work smarter in what they do. But we've also, thanks to some really great efforts by staff at the Arts Council, begun to put our own gas models much further to go. But we've made a 31% reduction in our electricity, gas and water bills since 2009, equivalent to a 40% reduction in our CO2 emissions. And how this came about was kind of, it was a mixture of bottom-up and top-down in a way. And this whole kind of approach was partly myself on this floor and the chair of the Arts Council of England saying, we've got to do something, what are we doing? But at the same time, staff from all over the organisation were saying the same thing and came to talk about it and talked amongst themselves and started doing things themselves. And the whole effort kind of came together in a really good way. And I'm grateful to the staff of the Arts Council, both for what they've done themselves and the way that we work, but also the way in which they've taken on this wider agenda and hopefully having a real effect around the arts and cultural sector in this country. Now, why are we doing this? And some people said to me, why are you doing this? I have had some conversations and said, why are you bothered about all this when we've all got funding problems, we've got different things to worry about, here's another thing from the Arts Council, blah, 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 blah. Let's be honest, environmental concerns aren't necessarily part of the overall political agenda at the moment. Well, for me, it's about a real ethical concern, but also it begins with an economic imperative. And actually relates back to the fact we're in a tight funding situation. So let's get the economics out of the way first. Investing to improve the environmental performance of arts organisations makes hard-headed, pure financial sense. In a single year, Theatre Royal Plymouth saved £10,000 by just changing the water maintenance system. Sage Gateshead has achieved 44% of its electricity bill with a concert by changing light bulbs and air conditioning filters. Installing new LED lighting saved the Royal Olympic Theatre 60% on the utility costs. These are quite simple solutions. They do require some investment. And it matches the simplicity of the economics. It's a message we've been bombarded with for years, that small changes can make a big difference. And with reduced funding for the arts over the next few years, we can't afford not to get these economies wherever we can. But the magnitude of the task required to deal with the challenges of climate change does also require societal action on a bigger scale, which is where our ethical concerns come in. Arts and cultural organisations already play a powerful role in influencing understanding and behaviour. With arts organisations, arts leaders and artists, often prominent members of our communities. And I firmly believe, and we at the Arts Council firmly believe, that through their actions and their work, they can do even more to capture our collective imagination, showing us creative solutions, and shifting our behaviour to tackle this big problem of our image. That's why I hope that some of our measures we're taking will be more than the direct amount by which we reduce our emissions. I also want us to recognise and harness the potential for arts organisations to lead and influence our communities in taking meaningful environmental action. So, climate change is an enormous existential challenge, requiring us to address profound and difficult questions about how we live, and those questions have been in the air and been brought down to the ground over the last 2 days. Many of us understand, or can begin to understand, or understand some of the horrific impact climate change is beginning to have. But at the same time, the scale of the collective action we need to take and the changes needed to avert this disaster seem almost incomprehensibly huge. In many ways, the global failure to deal with climate change represents one of the greatest collective failures of imagination in human history, something which I think the arts, and in particular artists, can help address. We can help the public reimagine this challenge and approach it in different ways, from the kind of Blake view of heaven in the wild farm to a view of the cosmos and our place in it. Artists can help us understand the micro and the macro and everything in between, and challenge us and get us thinking. We might produce easy answers, but it's important that the arts do get us thinking. Now, it's not the sole or even the primary job of artists to interpret or respond to the greatest challenge of our time. Artists are driven by their own artistic need. But one thing that many artists that I meet want to do is to reflect and respond to the world we live in and to question assumptions, and that's something that the arts does really well. So in a time of such uncertainty and fear, artists can show us the joy and terror of living. And rather than lecturing the public, they can offer a way to better understand the challenges we face and open us up to ideas we may not have considered. They can help approach these vast conceptual problems, paradigms, if you like. They can help us reimagine our society, providing insights that will be invaluable if we look to radically adjust how we live. So our role, the Arts Council's role, the core of what we're about, is to provide means for artistic talent to thrive, not to describe the kind of work that should be made. And I recognise that the bad art about, or yeah, bad art, any authentic art about climate change can be as damaging as no art about it at all. But I'm really heartened by the surge of enthusiasm for artists and arts organisations to confront this issue of environmental change, both in practical and artistic terms. So organisations like Tipping Point, Platform and Cape Farewell are leading the way in providing opportunities for artists creatively to engage with these issues. I'm particularly excited by the work they're doing to unite artists and scientific communities and find ways to work together on this vital scene. I recently wrote some speculation in a blog on this subject, setting out the potential for closer collaboration between science and the arts and highlighting the similarities between them. Both science and art can undergraduate work to acquire the skills needed to build them. Both depend on brave individuals challenging accepted ideas, on pushing back the boundaries of truth and uncertainty, and exploring the unknown. Both involve changing the world around us and presenting the public with something they couldn't have imagined. The cutting edge of both arts and science is frequently misrepresented and misunderstood by the tabloid press and elsewhere. The research and development process of art and science, we've seen the obscure and abstruse practice, often lead to remarkable discoveries that can transform how we see and experience the world. The best work of artists and scientists is about realizing something marvelous, sometimes beautiful, sometimes terrifying, that was previously unknown or unthought of, and that changes the way we think for years to come. So collaboration between science and the arts has already played a part in bringing about the real surge in arts organizations who are creatively responding to the threat of climate change. It feels like the potential for real progress we've made, and progress that the Arts Council is committed to help bring about. So, to conclude, I absolutely believe that the arts can be at the forefront of responding to, of facing this enormous threat. Steadfast in the belief that together, as artistic and science communities, as citizens, we can make a real difference. Not only to our own environmental footprint, but also in recapturing the public's collective imagination in order to reduce the impact we all have on our planet.